Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Today's episode of The Friend Zone is brought to you by Try the World. Every country and every culture is unique, and food is one of the best ways to explore them. From large, family-style Greek meals to the flavors of Indian bazaars, every bite tells you a story. That's why we're excited to share Try the World with you. Each box bringing you five all-natural healthy snacks from five different countries, so you can enhance your late afternoon snack with a unique international touch. To start your snack journey, just go to trytheworld.com today. And just for our listeners, get $10 off your next box of healthy snacks with the code FRIEND. That's trytheworld.com, offer code FRIEND. FRIEND. Try the world today.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as K Friend. Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
All right, let's go, y'all. Free smoke. Shout out to Drake. Shout out to More Life. Free smoke. Free smoke, free smoke. You why I'm laughing, that's the joke. Gray sweat, see the poke. She don't want you no more. Free smoke, free smoke. Too quick, slow stroke. New number in my phone. New sound, new moan. Cheap smoke, cheap smoke. Here come this nigga, this bloke. Perpetually broke. Wish you never would've spoke. Peep smoke, peep smoke. I beat your ass, what's the joke? Call me one, call me four. Three letters got you on the flow. Beat smoke. Wouldn't like a legend, I'm supposed. Hate to brag, hate to boast, but I have my Tim's on your nose. Free smoke, free smoke.
Not Let's my go. Tim's on your nose. What a visual.
Free smoke, free smoke. You got some Tim's on your nose. Don't watch out the door until you get real broke. Free smoke, free smoke. Get it back out of dro. Make it blow real cold. Make it blow till you blow. Free smoke, free smoke. Free smoke, free smoke.
We black owned.
That's
Oh gosh.
Halfway. Halfway black owned. Speaking
halfway,
of,
I just got that.
Speaking of that, I'm having issues with a business in my life that's becoming halfway black owned now, and I don't know how I feel about that. Nothing. We'll talk about that later. I just can't.
Hey, welcome y'all. To the Friend Zone. Your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because which one of y'all wants a musty brain?
Well, that was the shit.
I know I ain't in that group.
I love which that remix.
That's right.
Which one of y'all?
How are you guys? We're back.
Back, black, alive, blessed, not stressed, decompressed. I feel good. How about you, friend?
You know, I turned off my heater today and opened the windows because it's finally warm enough to do so. Or at least it was for a couple hours.
I was about to say.
And allowing that fresh air into my apartment was like heaven.
Yes.
It's the simple things.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Right? It was just so... And I got my plants. Remember I was telling you guys. I was telling the guys that I had some beautiful, huge plants delivered. And I was excited. Of course, I'd be excited about plants coming to my house. And they came today.
Friend?
This huge, beautiful bird of paradise plant, a snake plant, and cacti.
Oh, cacti?
Yes, they a tall good. One, right? It's beautiful.
Friend.
Yo, my apartment and all of them were for the bedroom because I'm friend. Trying to go for this sort of minimal look. I have like this white leather platform bed and it has like white leather and wood, and then you know, with the big high tufted background backboard, I mean, and then I'm going to take out my night table, and I took out like a lot of stuff from my room, and I wanted to just be the bed, the plants, and it has like a wall mirror that's white and my dresser that's like really cute and white, just really minimal.
That is adorable.
Right? And I wanted to just be plants and a big ass platform bed. I'm in like home mode right now, which is not rare for a tourist. That's sort of my thing, but I'm just like, not so much buying new stuff as I am trying to redecorate and kind of reorganize the energy in my house.
I think it's amazing. I just got a new comforter set.
Yes. That changes in the right everything.
And when I make my bed, it still got the little white tag on the corner of the comforter. So I put that on the side closest to the wall.
I remember people would be like, you go to jail if you take that off.
You're right. I'm scared. Shit. It's a number on there and everything. You know, anytime it's a number, they can call.
If you're sharing the bed with somebody, you point me like, that's your side over there.
That's right.
But have y'all been feeling, the home bug too?
Oh, absolutely. But see, I always feel like that because I be wanting to be at home now.
Right.
Well, I don't be wanting to be at home like when it counts. And by when it counts, what I mean is like, Saturday nights, Friday nights.
Of course.
Times
not.
Like that, Sundays during brunch hours. You right. know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be at the crib.
Not during the social hours.
But like when I'm supposed to be at work, I would rather be at home. So like I'm used to, I'm into getting things. I told you guys I'm obsessed with my humidifier.
Isn't it everything?
Oh, my God, it just makes me smile. And the act is just something thrilling about filling it up so far to the top that you don't see any of the room for the water, because the whole front of mine is all glass. All my shit is glass.
All like, glass,
well,
baby.
Not glass, it's plastic, but all my shit is see-through. So you can see the whole reservoir, you know? And I like filling it up.
And I've been going through that like a real, we should do a whole episode on that one day, because I know there's a doc. No. That's an episode about humidifiers.
You got your Vicks?
But like minimalism, like just sizing down.
Oh, I did watch that documentary.
Did you see that talk on Netflix? Yeah. I know those of you listening already watched it, because
I went down to 52 items. It looks like,
that's a little extreme.
Right? I was like,
there was a lady who created a schedule where she only had 10 pieces. You see that 10 pieces to choose from?
And she was rotating.
And rotating
them.
She was
like, people weren't even noticing.
She was like, it makes you really creative. I'm like,
it's also funky. Like, girl, you ain't going to the cleaners, girl? What are you talking about?
There's an element of that that's cool, because one thing I do want to learn is how to remix remix things in my closet, because I am bad at like thinking that I need to buy something new for every new event. Like I want to learn how to like remix shit. So it's a little inspiring, but we have a whole episode on that one day, because that documentary, I think, you know what? Those of you listening, watch it. That's your homework.
Hey!
Right? Watch it so that you already have it locked and loaded when we, you know, whip out the minimalism episode.
And what's it called again, friend?
Isn't it called minimalism?
Something about minimalism.
I think it's literally what it's called, yeah.
So it's called, never mind. I was about to crack a really bad
joke.
Oh, no. So never mind. I'm sorry.
I saw it in your face.
Woo! It was right on the tip of my
tongue. Saw you setting us up. What was it called?
Yeah, it's just the minimalism, a documentary about the important things, the minimalists.
Yes, definitely catch that.
We can crack this one. So the documentary is about the brains of the Republican Party.
Oh, God.
Minimalists.
Shit, they'd be able to think if that was the case. I can't stand y'all.
We'll watch it, and then we'll get that loaded sometime soon. But last week, shall we jump into the triggering episode? We talked about our exes in the episode called The X Factor, where we were asked by one of you, if you were to put all of our exes into a room, what would they agree on about who we are and what we're like? And we had a lot of interesting things to say. And as always, you guys had a lot of interesting things to say. So what stood out to you, Asante?
I would like to give a shout out to one Terrence Westfield, who decided to send me a Facebook status of someone. I actually forgot the person who posted the original status, but it was right before we posted our episode, or right around the time. And this person's status was this: sometimes you see the potential in someone, but they're not ready to be that person. You can push and pull them, but they will fight you every step of the way because they're not ready to be the best version of themselves. I don't know if it's our fear of comfort, Either way, I don't know if it's out of fear or comfort. Either way, it's best you move on. If not, you'll begin to resent them and feel they've wasted your time when you've actually wasted your own time. You see the signs and ignore them. Either way, a person is ready, willing to get ready, or they're not. No matter how good their talk game is, their actions will always show the truth. You can't save everyone. And, you know, after the whole shebang last week about exes, I thought that that was something that, Terrence, I feel like you were not minding your business when you sent me that status. It resonated with me. So
it was
thank
a character attack.
Absolutely. I don't know what y'all were doing in the courtroom. You know, I thought there were legal documents signed on the way in, oaths taken, but
NDAs.
That's what I saw from last week. Fran, what did you find?
Cypress Moss on SoundCloud said, Fran, you don't ever feel like someone is taking all the benefits and credit for all the work you've instilled in your exes? And I think that's a great question because, of course, most of us have asked ourselves that, especially when you do have to walk away from someone you've invested a lot of years in.
Who's going to reap my benefits?
And you know what? A lot of you actually emailed me, messaged me, tweeted me very similar sentiments. And my response to that is, yes, your reflex is to feel like, damn, I put all this into you and now someone else is very like, ring the alarm.
I'll be damned if I see another.
You know, very, very much that. But Justin's over here now. But one thing I've learned is that, okay, because I said in my seasons, someone blessed me with by helping me level up. And all I did was pay it forward in a way. You know what I mean? I think that's your job. Like you're not a teacher and teach your students and then get mad at them when they like excel beyond, you know, who you are and what you've taught. You can't do that. Then if you're doing that, it's not genuine. It's a control issue. It's a possession. You're doing it for the response. You're doing it for the validation. And that means that you're looking for some type of healing in their response. And that actually ties back to your personal issues on needing to be seen as a person. So now when, like with my ex, he's grown so much and I see it, you know, I'll see it in little things and he's just a totally different person. And I just think that's cool. I think it's cooler to know that I have that impact than to sit here harboring ill will that the next girl he gets or the exes that I have that are married and have moved on.
It's like your portfolio.
I mean, to me, it's like a trail of glitter.
When I tell you.
Right? And I think that's cute because then when people ask these men, what happened in your life that just created this change, whether they give me props or not, we know what it is. And I think that's fantastic. And to me, I'd rather, like the quote, leave people better than you found them. Mm. That makes me feel better. I don't need to have a, you know, a blip, a blimp in the sky saying, yeah, Fran did this. And I definitely don't need to keep you because, you know, you owe me or are indebted to me in any way. There are people who have helped me grow and I am indebted to them and will forever be grateful and thankful. And like I said, all I did was pay it forward by being kind to the next person. And if we all keep doing that, then that's how people get healthy and are able to get into cool relationships with each other.
See, also, on the pettiest
I was
of notes,
waiting for that.
Okay, no. On the pettiest of notes, because I agree with everything that you said. Our perspectives are often in alignment. Mm-hmm. But on a petty note, on the other side of that, which is where I step in, you don't never have to worry about anybody that you date that you make better. You don't ever have to worry about somebody else reaping the benefits or somebody else getting the best of them because that was a change that that person made. And they made that change because of something that you taught them or showed them. Single time they do it and they're making a choice or decision to exhibit that different behavior, they're going to think about why they do it and they're going to think about you. So you get yours where it counts because the person is going to think about you for the rest of their life. So you won on a petty note.
And I'd rather be like an imprint on you than the person that you're with out of force. Exactly. You know what I mean? An imprint lasts longer.
I tell you what kind of print I'd rather be.
And Dustin is absolutely right, because the boyfriend that was the catalyst to my change, he's always on my mind. What? And so let that be the...
Call me now.
No, it's true. Like, it doesn't matter who else I've been with after him. He became the standard. He became the bar. He became the measure. He became a lot of that. And I know that that's what I've become for other men too, you know? So listen,
and to be
don't
clear,
even worry
it doesn't mean
it.
that you like him more than the person you were with at the time. It just means that you remember that the change.
Absolutely.
It was huge and impactful.
And I won't be with someone that won't be either equally or above that in pulling out of me. So
I agree.
Like I said, you become a bar. And that's cool. Don't even worry about it. And the next person you get is going to be way more aligned. That's what I was saying last week's episode. I'm excited. I'm actually looking forward to the next person that I align with, because it's going to be awesome to see now that I have a healthier balance of energies.
Because you're vibrating so high.
Yeah, like I'm so much wiser. I have so much more depth. I have a more emotional intelligence and way better understanding of men and relationships and of myself, which most importantly. And I think the next guy I date, he has to be awesome. He can't not be awesome. You know what I mean? Mm. We all have our things, obviously. No one's perfect, but he's going to be awesome. I already
damn
know
right
that.
He is, because if not.
Not the cracking knuckles. Okay. What about you, Dustin? What'd you find in these streets?
I guess it is my turn to actually work, huh? I found a couple things in these streets here. Let me tell you about this week. So first,
in these streets,
you got to sing it with your jaws and your teeth still clenched, in these streets. So I would like to give a shout out to Yashar. I really don't know him like that, but this is just whose tweet I saw. But he posted some video footage of a real dummy named Kaylee McEnany. Or McEnany or whatever her damn name is, but she's an idiot. She said that she was defending President Trump's golf trips or whatever. And then she was like, you know, Obama, he rushed off to golf after Daniel Pearl was beheaded. But President Obama was a state senator in 2002 and Daniel Pearl was beheaded. So we're going to move on to the next tweet.
Girl.
We need to shine a light on these dummies every time they dumb so that they know that we know. I also want to give a shout out to B-Nerd, B_Nerd, who tweeted that T-Mobile cut his phone off because he turned off auto pay and he didn't know that his bill was due. And he called 611 and he followed it up with a 10-second clip from one of Whitney Houston's last live performances on the Oprah show when she did I Didn't Know My Own Strength. And she got to the end and she kept repeating, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
That's what he tweeted in response. I thought that was just, you know, totally genius.
Oh, Jesus.
I would like to give a shout out to a real fan of The Read at Mikey Biggs, MikeyBiggz, who tweeted that, remember, look at Dustin predicted the iPhone 6S approximately 4 years ago on The Read through the grace of Blue Ivy. When Blue Ivy was born or something like that, it was like one of the first times I was on The Read. I said she had an iPhone 6S, and at the time, wasn't nothing out but like the 5 or something like that. And so, yeah, shout out to him for knowing.
I'm thinking he like described a technology that hadn't been created.
Shout out to him for knowing. I would also like to give a shout out to at... Creole Ugly. I believe that's what this is.
Oh my God.
It's at KREYOLXUGLY. So Creole.
Y'all be so creative on Twitter.
Anyway, they said dope ass intro, hey Asante, and look at Dustin. And they sent us a steel shot of Marjorie Harvey dancing at a party. And y'all, that was just funny to me. So I would like to also give a huge shout out to my best friend Gary LeVar. Shout out to him who tweeted, I woke up singing the entire Mary J. Blige Share My World album. My best friend would be proud.
Gary, I saw you on Greenleaf.
Yeah, okay. Getting the hell out. That's what he was doing. He wasn't going to triumph.
Running,
he was hitting
it.
I love it. Congratulations.
Hey, man.
Also, one thing, this is from related to last week's In the Streets. A lot of you guys were tweeting me asking me where was I Think Mark's account. I reached out to him. I spoke with him on the phone. He had to pause his account for a second, but he will be back with the jump off. And you know, I gave him your love. So that's that.
Mark was like, "Why did y'all shout me out?"
Woo! Funny.
Speaking of Mary J. Blige, last thing, she gave a 30-minute in-depth interview to Angie Martinez. You know that is one of her best friends.
Aww.
She was so comfortable in this interview. But if you want to know what happened, listen to this interview, and that's all I'm gonna say. She tells it all.
Really?
I mean, like, and it's a firsthand, very raw, very open interview. Like, she discusses the Hillary Clinton thing. She discusses the look at Asante laughing. She discusses, this is the first time I've ever mentioned that. Y'all know this is the first time I've ever. This is the first time I've ever even acknowledged it. This is the first time I've ever acknowledged it.
I was literally just about to take a sip of water.
This is the first time I've ever acknowledged it. But she talks about that.
What does she talk about?
She talks about the Hillary Clinton thing. She talks about everything with her current divorce. She talks about,
does she talk about Burger King?
Yep.
Okay, yep. I gotta watch this.
She talks about everything, I'm telling you.
I can't believe this.
She doesn't really go in depth about Burger King. She talked about that in another interview, but she does mention it. She mentions Burger King,
the taxes.
She mentions everything, like everything. She mentions how crazy it is that Ken Do has these demands. And she makes a lot of things crystal clear. And just watching her disposition in this interview, everything is just clear to me. And I hate Ken Do. So.
Wow.
And I hate
Ken. I legit thought about that commercial, that Burger King commercial on, did you watch Black-ish this week?
No. She was on there?
No, Chris Brown was on there, and they were doing.
Chris Brown was on Black-ish? Yeah, that is so random.
He's Black-ish.
I was struggling with that, though. They were doing an advertisement.
Yes, he was on Black-ish. And they were throwing, perfect casting, ain't it?
The drink was called Ovo or something. They were like, throw some Ovo on it. And so it was like real, like, you know, throw some Ovo on it. And like a white lady was making fun of them. Like, oh, that's like Tyler Perry funny. Like shit like that. So it made me think about like today, you know, we were talking about respectability, politics and all that. Like how differently we would have treated Mary J. Blige thinking about all that. That would have been interesting to consider if had that come out with during the duration of this show.
I'm so stuck on him saying, of course, he's Black-ish. I can't stand y'all. Shall we move into this week's episode? Now I keep thinking of the girl jumping into her living room whenever I say it. Oh my God. Do y'all know that video?
Yes.
The listeners.
Wait.
Why did she do that?
Why did the guy say he came in the door with that McDonald's? He came in the door, Asante, with bags from McDonald's. Talking about, all right, y'all, the food is here. And then it cut to that girl falling out the seat.
I don't know what this girl is.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh.
I don't know why y'all think I care about the internet. Like,
everybody,
why don't y'all
tweet
now?
Asante.
Oh, no, my Lord. No.
Tweet Asante, the girl falling out
I'm
the sky.
I'm trying to stay here, and I don't even want to be here.
All of the variations.
By the time y'all tweet me this, them. I will be in L.A. not caring about Twitter anyway. So do your worst.
I ain't going to show it to them.
Oh, God. Okay, so a lot of you were triggered by last week's episode, which is good. That means that there's some things in your lives that you saw reflected on our conversations and that you might need to think about and consider and shift around.
As long as it wasn't heavy metal reflective.
So we were talking about the next phase of, you know, those evolutions and seasons, as we put it in last week's episode. When you have You atoned. Is it atoned?
Yeah, atonement of the sins, baby. Atonement.
When you've gone through your atonement, you know, because all of us have made our mistakes. We've taken L's. We've given L's. You know, it's cyclical. And what happens, though, when you have reached the point of looking back and being like, you know, I really did some fucked up shit to some people. Should you reach out to those people once you feel like you've matured and are able to kind of put words to your thoughts and your actions and talk to them about maybe why you did it and what you were going through with a little more clarity? Do you go back and reach into the past and hit those people up and apologize and seek their forgiveness, look for closure? Is closure real? Or do you leave them alone and allow them to remember you as the fuck boy that you were, and just take that L and let it go. Because the reality is, regardless of if you have gone through your atonement or not, it's a phase of life that you participated in, and that's how you will be remembered. So what do? Is closure real? Is it worth it? Do you leave people alone? Who wants to start?
Dustin.
Closure is definitely real, but it does not mean that you have realized a final feeling about something. All closure does is that means that you've accepted something and been willing to move past the initial sting of the occurrence.
Amen.
That's what closure is. So there is no ultimate resolution with things. Ultimately, you just have to decide to move beyond whatever it is that you're talking about. Now, that being said, you can make certain decisions to, like, okay, so I had, like, went with somebody one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we had stopped going together. So it's like a big thing. And so I decided right then that I was not going to be negative, nasty, nothing, because I was never really comfortable with saying, like, I went with somebody.
Right.
And so I didn't want to, like, trash this thing that I was, like, super protective of or whatever. And just I felt like it would make me look like a simp, not them. So I was like, I'm never going to, like, talk about them in the streets. I'm never going to be negative. Anytime anybody mentions it, I'm going to, like, be nice. I Googled the statement that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston released when they broke up.
No,
and
I
swear to God on everything I love. And I, like, reworded it a little bit and put it on my Facebook page as a status. Of course, they copied and did it later or whatever. But it was still dope because everybody was like, we cannot, wow, like, you guys are being so mature about this, whatever. Only for them to go ahead and trash me in the streets later. But because I never, ever was negative or messy, right? They ended up coming back around. To this day, we are great friends, very supportive of one another. Like, we really are good. And it doesn't mean that I'm okay with anything that happened when we was kicking it.
Right.
It just means that we were able to decide, okay, we good, and keep it moving. So there is no closure. Now, back to the question about issuing all, you know, dealing out these this 52-card deck of apologies. You know what I'm saying? No. First of all, that's bizarre. If someone that you have not had, you know, consistent, you know, communication with for quite some time, and then they just send you this random-ass apology, you don't know what they've done post their experience with you. They may have gone on to a great love and some, like, a monumental relationship that makes yours, although it was important in your eyes, but it may look, you know, small in comparison to what has happened beyond
since
that.
Then.
People have had kids, gotten divorced, married, all kinds of shit, lived beyond whatever the you know, rift that you guys had in your relationship. So revisiting that can, you know, come off a bit immature.
Yeah.
In my perspective. And it also can come off a little bit crazy because it's like, why are you even thinking about me like that? Like, at least be fake and be like, you know, oh, hey, good seeing you, whatever. And harbor your resentment on the inside like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And then as far as, like, dealing these apologies out, that's weird. Run into somebody. You know what I'm saying? You run into me and we see each other and I haven't thought about you. And you ain't, I would assume, well, you've been thinking about me, but we haven't seen each other. You know what I'm saying? That is way more
organic
and sexy. You know what I mean? Than an email or a message in a bottle. Like, what the fuck? Run into me casually and be like, damn, it's good to see you. You know?
Did I not say that, like, word for word, Asante?
Right,
that's so funny.
That's what
you're
you do.
Saying that. I literally said the same thing to him.
Like, just say all this shit was crazy and, you know, and whatever. That's your opportunity to shoot your shot.
Mm-hmm.
Toward whatever basket you're trying to hit. But that's your opportunity is what I'm saying.
The closure basket.
That's how I feel.
What about you, Asante?
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Real.
You know what? I don't really believe in closure. I kind of have accepted this. Everything is temporary type thing. If it being a good or bad, that's why, like, it's so easy for me to bounce back in a lot of situations. So the thought of me being like, you know, damn, I really hurt this person way back in the day. Like, let me reach out and see what's up. I wouldn't want to do that. And it wouldn't even be because of anyway from what I'm feeling. But who's to say that I have enough power to just come in and interrupt their shit and think that whatever I had going on meant more than what it even means in their life right now. Like, whatever I'm going through or solving or resolving could be just something for me and not have anything to do with them. So it's like, I might be like, oh, I apologize for what I did them, da da da. And they might be like, oh, you know, we was all stupid. We was all doing dumb shit. Or I might come to them and apologize, and they might be like, oh, I was cheating on your ass too. And then we about to like start boxing, and then I'm opening a whole other door. It's just more work. So it's like, I don't like when my work interferes with other people's work that's not necessarily family or like really close friends. Even though those people meant something to me at some point in my life, if they're gone, it's like they've missed out, or they might have gotten what they needed while they were there.
Right.
That's why it's like a struggle for me to think about kicking the dirt back up and bringing them back, because it's like, they're gone now, leave them gone.
Right. I don't know. I'm on the fence with closure.
I see why. And but you know, back to last week, you know, I'm Captain Save-A-Ho, so I think about how I try to be there. Like, I try to be there and work. So then after everything is said and done, like, even though I might apologize or feel sorry or realize where I've gone wrong or done something wrong, I think to myself, like, well, I try to make amends in my mind, like, oh, we both made our mistakes. These are just the ones that I have to deal with. And then, you know, you might be helping them a little more by giving them that apology. Never mind. We're going to go back into the teacher thing and the petty thing. See, I'm still too petty. I'm still too petty now that I'm thinking about it. Because what if they come out a better person at the end of that than I'm trying to be?
I mean, it happens.
Then what the hell I sent this letter for? Now they done glowed up 10 times past me. That's not what I was doing this for.
They're married with kids and shit. We're at home sweeping and buying plants. Triggered. Triggered.
But,
no.
But then you know what? Now that you say that, it also might, we might have been going in two different directions anyway.
Always.
So like, our levels of happy might be magnified differently, like by different things.
Yeah. And just because someone's married and with kids, it doesn't necessarily mean that
they
figured something out. Yeah, like, I think we all have our storylines that just... that's us still being petty. Don't mean you happy.
happy with me, but you know.
What's a dream song? It would have been better if you stayed with me.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I'm putting that one on a playlist, actually.
That's my jam. What's that? Madness? Madness. That's so shady. Yes. I'm just kidding. I hope y'all understand my humor by this point. I'm not.
You know who you are.
No, I'm on the fence because... I have had people reach out to me after like years, and I will say it does depend how you feel about them when you receive the letter or the email, or even if you bump into them. Because mm-hmm. I was saying to Asante that's happened to me on both ends, where I apologize and where someone else apologized. And I think if you still kind of have something for them, then the apology is nice. Because I've been, one of my longer relationships that had like the most impact, he came around and he was like, I'm sorry. And he started listing all the ways, like his accountability list, basically, like how he fucked up and how he contributed to X, Y, and Z. And he was like, even though you were a pain in the ass and, you know, here was your X, Y, and Z, but I can see how you would react that way. And it was just kind of nice because I walked away from that relationship really confused and triggered and hurt and extremely victimized, just feeling like, what the fuck? Like, you know, when you get out the relationship, it's like the crab meme. You're just like, what? Yes. Why would I meet someone like you? What? Why did this happen? You know, like, you're terrible. Like,
been fucked up everything.
Yeah, like, it made you think, like, it makes you be like, who did I kill in the past lifetime that I would even endure, you know, you coming into my space? So for him to kind of just put that out there, it was like a nice release in a way, you know, but it's also because I still loved him. But I've also had other people that I'm not thinking about at all, mm-hmm. and they email you and it's kind of like, what?
Nobody like, this think. Motherfucker is crazy.
It's just irrelevant. See, it's so irrelevant to my timeline. And it feels like if you're emailing me, it had more to do with what you're releasing, and you could have written it in a journal.
I never even had to know. Because I was doing all right.
Yeah. And either, and like I said earlier, you can apologize and everything, but it happened. Yeah. It doesn't change it. It doesn't change the effect, the intent. You just have to accept the fact that that's who you were at that time. Those are the decisions that you made. And that's the effect you had on a person. And it doesn't feel good. And I understand that because I look back at the mistakes I've made and it doesn't feel good. I think back like, man, that was terrible. But the L that you take is part of the atonement process. I think you have to almost be humbled to the point of embarrassment. And sometimes it's that embarrassment that makes you look at yourself and be like, I can't keep living like this. You know what I mean? I can't do that. I mean, there are people that keep it going. Listen.
Okay. Okay.
There are people that keep it going, and that's their, you know, that's their life to figure out. But for me, it took enough, you know, hurt that I was like, all right, this isn't cool. I don't like how this feels. I don't like the effect it's having. And I don't want to be remembered that way. I don't want for someone to look back and, like, it got to a point where men would meet me and if we were going to date, they'd be like, oh, I heard about you. You don't want to be that person. You trouble.
Damn. I like being that person. Like, go ahead.
Like, so you should already know.
Right. When they hit you with that, oh, I heard about you. You trouble. And they kind of look excited like they want to play with fire.
How high
like,
was you listening? Hey.
Oh, my God. But, you know, I mean, but it's all seasons.
Yes.
It's all seasons.
Thing.
And that was what that was. And now, you know, I've worked through it. And so the people that I have felt I needed closure with, I would just, my closure was by paying it forward through the next person and making sure I didn't treat them the same way.
Yeah.
That's my closure. And it's like, I won't continue this cycle. Literally, that's the closure. That's the end of that other person. It's like a series of deaths in a way. And I think it's a personal thing. I think closure is more about A, trying to manipulate the person to come back to you, seeing if you still have a chance, or needing the validation and showing someone, like, I'm better now. You know, like, I'm not this terrible person. I hope you believe me. And I don't need that. I don't need to prove that to anyone at this point. I just am kind of figuring things out as I go, and I leave it at that. If you don't believe it, you don't believe it. Sorry for you.
And don't be pointing fingers at me. I'm sorry, Asante. Don't be pointing no fingers at me. A lot of times closure is about finger pointing.
Oh,
a lot of times, you know what I mean? And people try to...
They have stuff they have to still get off their chest.
Right, and they frame it in this, oh, you know, I just want to apologize for such and such. And before, I was watching Little Women Atlanta last week, right? And this is totally unrelated, but Minnie Ass set up there and invited Juicy, who is completely unreasonable, to this lunch dinner.
A lunch dinner.
to a lunch date, right? To a lunch date, and they heard you. To a lunch, because these some good ass mics this week. Can you hear that, or is it just me?
No,
my mic is good over
it
here.
It is. But I feel loud.
Okay, but anyway, they go to this lunch date, and she starts off with an apology, and by the end of it, they cussing each other out. And she just really wanted to bait her into an argument. And people will do that to you. If you know, if you don't, people will steal the shit. Like my aunt used to say, you know, people will steal the shit out your ass if you let them. And they will.
I love that.
They will. And so all that closure talk.
Because we've said this before in an episode. Sometimes when you don't have energy for someone anymore, like when you cut someone off, They will choose to even fight you because energy is still energy. Mm-hmm. It's an attachment. Whether it's in the good that you love them or you hate them, it's better than not being spoken to. It's better than not being thought of and not being experienced or relevant. And some people will create whatever they need to create to stay relevant in your timeline. And that's why closure is dangerous, because you can open up for someone to atone, you know, deal with their atonement, but a lot of times they're reeling you back into an old timeline that you shouldn't even be on anymore. Like, I don't want to think about this. I don't want, like, I already faced it. I, like you said, Dustin, I accepted it. Let me move on to the new awesome person that's waiting for me for my next level.
That's why sleeping dogs gotta lie.
I totally agree.
That's why I'm only open to the idea of closure if we bumping into each other.
That, like, I agree with, too.
Like, if I'm going
to
just
if
be
it,
up there...
If it comes to that.
Right, if, like, you know, if my phone rings and it's like, oh, I got a new cell phone, I'm looking at old numbers, it's like, well, this ain't a number you need to keep. Just delete it. Bye. But like, if it's like we genuinely bumping into each other and everything's cool, we want to stop and talk all level-headed, fine. But closure don't be feeling like that these days. And I don't know if it's because it's New York City and people be mad, but I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people are like, I have to get this off my chest so I can feel better.
And they don't.
And it's like, well, damn, you got to yell it. Like, you got to do all that to feel better. How are you going to feel better after that? And then, like you said, they don't. So it's like,
and they don't, because it has nothing to do with that. Me and my ex, one of my exes, we were cool still. And it was funny because we avoid, like, we did, like, talk in circles about our old relationship because we know that we can't talk about it because we start fighting. Going. It's the funniest thing. We'll talk about everything but. And then the other day, I don't know what happened, that he brought something up. And I tell you, when we went right back into the house, to the point that we just started laughing. Because I was like, yo, are we really arguing about this shit? It was like in 2003. And he was like, because you remember that day? And I was like, no, that was me. And we started laughing. I was like, yo, wait. I was like, what are we doing? And we both were heated. Like, heated as if it was happening right now, the same argument. And I'm like, this is why being friends with your ex can be tricky. Mm-hmm. And the whole closure thing is, just leave each other alone. Are you guys friends with your exes? Do you believe in that? Do you think you can be like a friend and be healthy? A friend that keeps in touch. Not yes. Just like, oh, you know, we left it cool and
yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh God. Anyway. One of the only like ex I ever had. It's like traveling the world right now on this journey of discovery or whatever.
You pray
and,
love.
Yep, and we keep in touch. I'm still legal counsel, still still a family therapist, aww, still all those things. You know what I'm saying? And it does feel good to catch up. It does feel good to know that they're doing good, because this is a person that, even though the love has changed completely, it may not be romantic at all, but you still love them as a person.
Right.
And so you still want to see them do well, all the good things that you ever wanted for them. It's like the most freeing thing to like just move to the other side of all the drama. Like all that shit that happened and everything that went down or whatever, who cares? I know I was right anyway at the end of the day. So like I can totally move past this.
Right.
And just be drama free. And just have a relationship that's built on the fact that you guys have some very valuable, serious history together. And you have a mutual respect for that. And so you can build a foundation off of that and have a really healthy friendship. I don't want you at all. And you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just be cool and really be friends.
Yeah.
And be somebody that will always look out for you. And that don't mean you disrespect any other situations you're dealing with or whatever, but that's just, it's just a good thing to have that type of bond with somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What about you, Asante? You friends with anyone?
No, I don't think I've ever fully officially closed like doors with certain people. So there's still kind of that thing there with some of them. So it's like, it doesn't feel like anything I can build a friendship off of or with. So I just stay on my side of the street. Because sometimes I'll bump into somebody and it'll be like, oh, you're doing good. And they want to kick the dirt back up. And it's like, no. Like, I thought we were past that. We could just be cool now. But no. So I just stay over here. Stay on my side of the thing. Because
yeah,
I haven't reached that level. I haven't had that level of like camaraderie and friendship in a relationship that I've really like sought for. So to like leave somebody behind and be like, oh, like damn, I really wish I still had that friend. Like, zero.
I used to think it was good to be friends with your exes, because I was friends with my exes, but we all just secretly still liked each other. So it was just a shady way to not admit it.
That's what that be seeming like. And that's why I just be like,
because when you see each other, it's that like really subtle flirtation and that like that look kind of feeling in your belly, like as soon as they walk into the room, I'm like, this isn't healthy. We're not friends. Why are we
like
lying?
It's like that used to be feeling, yeah. And then it's like it still could be feeling.
Yeah, like, and it's like that playfulness of like, we can, but we won't, but we should, see, but we don't. And no, I can't. The Grinch, smile over here.
Temptation up at the restoration.
Right. So I've learned to be
a
real.
Revival is what they call it.
No, the Grinch smile.
The restoration.
I wish they could see your face. I had to be real with myself about the exes I was still cool with, and it was bullshit. It was all a charade.
Really?
Absolutely.
There wasn't like one where it was like.
The only one is.
Oh.
Right. With him, because he's my soulmate, and I think it's different. It's like it's hard, but even him is problematic because he's the one that we just started fighting, like, because we still have. Okay, your soulmate is the one that, like, creates the biggest impact in your life, usually. Mm. You know, there's a before them and an after them. And you can see how your life changed very clearly in those two parts of your timeline. And he's that person for me. I'm that person for him. And we're soulmates, but we also know that we can't be together because it's too intense. Because of the change that you took on by being with them, it's like they know too much. They know too much of your darkness, of your ugly, and you guys can always bring it out of each other, and it's just too much. It's like too much fire almost, and it just doesn't work. And we've come to terms with that. We've accepted it. It's not easy, but it's just like, it's cool. The next person you're with gets this healthier level up of you, and the next person I'm with will get the healthier level up, and that is where we both should be, and we know that. It's a mature acceptance. So we, you know, we'll keep in touch here and there, but that's the charade too. That's totally a charade because it's that underlying knowing that we're soulmates and love each other. And, you know, so it's a charade. I think being friends with your ex is a charade a lot of the times. Obviously, I can't speak for everyone. I'm sure there are people that are mature enough that make it happen because people are people, and some people have different, you know, understandings of life and relationships and connections and can do that and are genuinely cool. I've seen people that are like have blended families with their exes.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and they go on vacations together. And I'm like, how? Y'all not staring at each other on the low?
Still living together in separate relationships.
The kids are the buffer. They still getting hot and wet and hard and all that other shit.
Because I'm like, y'all not like.
The kids are the buffer.
Staring, you know, you give each other that look, like, and then you look away real fast. Come on. Mm-hmm. You telling me that's not happening?
Now lean back.
Yo, I can't stand y'all. I swear.
This show got legs.
Rock away.
Okay.
Now lean back.
This show got legs. That's all I'm gonna say. Cause it's a lot of conversations that could be offshoots from this conversation. So, but I think that it's great. I think it's something to be said for, you know, having that respect. And, you know, that's it. The only time you have to be careful about being friends with your ex is when you're in another relationship. Because you don't ever want to, like, disrespect the person that you're with. You know what I'm saying? So that's when you kind of have to, like, check yourself.
Yeah.
But I think if you're single, and you know what I'm saying?
It's great when you're single. And you know, here's the other part of that for me. Because I have been friends with exes, but then it's like, all right, well, you know, it's courting season. You got to go. Sometimes, you know, you can feel yourself kind of like popping. Or you're like, oh, like, damn, like, it's about to be my season. And then the ex might be thinking they about to reap the benefits of just helping you out. Because I have been, like, temporarily friends with exes. Like, oh, we're going to try to be friends and make this work. And because of that, you know, because they know so much of your darkness and your lightness, they're going to give you the best advice. They know you at your best and things to pick out for you and, you know, things that
work. That's the element of it that I like.
But then
that they know you. The conversations you guys have can be cool, but
right. But then it's like, let's say if I'm friends with my ex and, you know, they've helped me be popping and I'm about to move on. They might want to throw a little sabotage in the game and be like, oh, hell no. Like, nigga, we was going to get back together or something. Or I might want to be happy before you or something like that.
Because they had an agenda on the low. I'm telling you, the charade.
That's why you got to really, for real, friend, you have to, you're right, is the point that I'm about to make. Because you have to really, really be just completely sound in your decision making when it comes to being friends with your ex. If you have any lingering desire, want, any of that, don't do it, because it's a recipe for disaster.
Yes, exactly. If you, there's a radical honesty you have to have with yourself.
Seriously. Yes. So, like, but if you can honestly say, like, I'm no longer interested in pursuing a close relationship like that with you, you know, but I love you and I want to, we have a connection so we can remain, you know, connected, then that's cool. But, like, you can't, and both people have to be in that space, because otherwise it'll never, ever work.
It's
ever.
True. Like, my ex, my recent one that I told you, we broke up and had the picnic, which was awesome, right? And we fucked up, too, because after that, obviously, we missed each other, and we fronted, and we're like, let's just be friends. We don't have to be together. And then
we can still do this together.
Well, no, we ain't do that. Well, but it was like the good morning.
Meet my butt up. Right.
But it was like, good morning, you know, the good morning text, and then the how
was
your day
there.
Yeah, yeah, and the how was your day, and it's like, oh cool. And then I'm like, whoa, like, what are we doing right now? Why are we talking to each other all day long when we clearly just broke up? And
what kind of break is this?
Yeah. And then it turned into, even he, like, had gone to dinner with a girl and told me, and my stomach hurt.
Yep,
and see? I was like, this is stupid now. Like, come on, I'm playing myself. So that's when I was like, no, we're not, this isn't real. Like, let's stop the bullshit. And we stopped. And we had to be real with each other. You know what I mean? We're not friends. We are in love with each other and are figuring out how to modify the connection. Mm. That's what it was. And that's totally fine and human. I get it. But like Dustin said, there's an element of radical honesty that you have to have, you know, and not front under this charade of like closure, or, you know, it's not closure. Tell them, I still love you and I want to yell at you. That's what this is. Because I want you to want me back, and I'm angry that you don't, and I'm sad seeing you look happy on Instagram without me in your life. That's what closure means for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Just say that then. Just say that. It pisses me off that you're smiling when you should be Mariah Carey wall sliding. Dustin's over here holding his chest.
Because then sometimes when you love somebody and y'all have that type of falling out, and it's usually rooted in the fact that they never got the point that you wanted them to get. And so sometimes you just want them to get the fucking point.
That is it.
And so, like, if that's what the closure is, then that's not really closure. It's just you wanting to.
It's not closure. Yeah. It's you reeling it back in.
Can't we already talk about the wellness shit? What's going on? Like,
what's going on with the wellness?
Friend. Now, you want me to do it? I'll do it right now, friend. Well,
no, we have to close it out.
We did.
Yo, that was so genuine. We did.
Like, you've been in the field all day. Come on, friend. Guys don't want to talk about this.
This is
no
good,
more.
You guys. This is spring. We pulling. We're digging in the cobwebs. We're sweeping under the rug.
Oh, no. I beg your pardon.
So that's the hot button issue for this week, you guys. Something to think about. And
amen. It is over.
We don't want no devils.
Yes, God.
We want the
yes,
Lord. God. That's it.
That's it, right? You want me to
that's
give
the
testimony
takeaway
about my life.
I want to talk to her. I would tell her all my business.
Yeah,
I don't
real.
Even know her.
Y'all got
oh,
me.
I'm crying now.
Y'all got me in stitches today. So let's move on.
Thank you, friend.
Right to this week's wellness segment. He can't look at him looking down.
I already did.
I'm weak. Let's do a journal entry.
Yes.
Based on the hot button issue.
No.
Dear journal.
I'm doing real good right now, though, so I'm not even like.
Okay.
I can't even trip.
Well, based on the hot button issue, but also a little bit beyond that as well, because yes. This isn't just about, you know, exes and closure and charades, but I think one thing that it brings to light in general that I think would be really helpful for all of us as far as like mental health is looking at all the charades in our lives, you know, where aside from the ex, like I said, where else are you living in a sort of illusion that, like, you know is bullshit, but you are kind of holding it up just to get by, or there's something about it that you're getting out of it? You know, like, using the ex thing as an example, you are friends because you secretly still love this person, and it's like soothing your emotions right now in the interim because you don't want to deal with the reality that it's over. But you have to understand that that is an illusion, and you're dragging it on, and you are prolonging the hurt. You know what I mean? And you could deal with the hurt now and move forward. You know, deal with the like, what do they say? Deal with the past and the present and open the doors to the future with more ease. So I think that's something you should consider. So make that a journal entry today. I want you to write a list of all, and be honest. This is radical honesty. The beauty of your journal is that it's your journal.
Nobody, like, gonna see it.
No
but
one
you.
Has to see
don't
it.
Don't send that shit off to nobody.
Yeah, please don't send it to your ex. No, you don't have to discuss it with anyone. And write down whether it's work, the illusion of the job you're doing that you actually fucking hate it, or maybe you really love it. You know, maybe it's a different position. Maybe it's somewhere else you'd rather be. Your living situation, the friends you have, are you friends with them because of who they are, where they're at, what they bring to your life, or do you actually fuck with them, you know? Like, shatter all the illusions. I think that's a theme that is, like, circling the collective consciousness, because I think a lot of people are starting to kind of feel tired. You know, you're tired of all these masks that we kind of have to carry throughout the days and our different roles in people's lives, and let's get rid of that. People ask me all the time, you know, how do I start self-love? How do I start being healthier mentally? And I think that's where it starts. It starts by removing the bullshit that you know is bullshit. Like, you almost have to be on to yourself, and not just be on to yourself, but do something about it. And I think that should be the wellness segment for today. Don't you think that's cool to just sort of write down, like, here's all the ways I'm lying
sitting
to myself.
Your shit, yeah.
I think so, because some of these hoes need to be picked apart. I'm just going to tell you.
I mean, it's the reality.
They do. Some of y'all need to be broken all the way down to the terms and conditions. So I think this is a great exercise for all of us.
All of us. And don't wait for your friend to call you out on it. You know, don't wait to be fired. Don't wait for the walls anymore. I think we tend to be really violent to ourselves and abusive, and we wait for hurt to come before we learn a lesson. I don't know why we're like that, why we're wired like
Quit
that.
Quit running in the brick walls.
You know? So don't wait for the lesson. Start, you know, sweeping up them cobwebs now. Let's clear them out. Lift that rug. Wipe it down. Don't just...
She talking
take the
about
rug
the,
off.
Talking about y'all
take
wigs,
a rag.
Y'all.
Wipe the floor. No, you didn't. She talking
Look,
about y'all. Wigs.
Check the kitchen.
Check your lace.
Don't sweep around the rug. So, that's it. That's it. I think the hot button combined with that journal entry should set you in a good position for April. It's a new month, new blessings,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
New
April.
Blessings. So. Let's clear out the old and make room for those new blessings. So that's this week's wellness segment.
It was a damn good one, too.
Right? Asante, Mr. Music Man. What you got for us this week?
You're getting a run every week now, I decided.
Okay, can you do it like...
Nope, because you can do it like that.
Okay, well, no. Now you don't got to do the run like this, but I'm going to be like, Music Man. Okay, so I'll be like, Music Man. Yes. Now we are back with the Music Man segment.
I can't.
Because it is April, it is a new month, and now you get a new playlist.
My birthday right. month and Mine Justin's too. Birthday yes. month.
We ain't Double talking trouble. About Omarion's baby mama. We talking about April this month.
I'm working
out the thing, y'all. Because it is going to be both their birthdays, I guess. You Yay. Know, it's going to be a crazy-ass month.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to set the vibe for April. I have created a new playlist. It is called April Cools. And April Cools is going to feature some artists that I have been talking about, some artists that I have not talked about. So it's just going to be a nice little journey through what's going on in my musical playland right now, because everybody's always sending me things to listen to and all that stuff. This is part of the playlist pledge, so if you need to find any of the playlist, hashtag playlist pledge, we'll get you there. On the April Cools playlist, I have decided to add Frank Ocean on there because we didn't have him on the last playlist. There's some couple of tracks from Mike Will Made, its new project. Even Goldlink's got a couple of tracks on there. And then I've thrown in some bonus tracks from Smino, Nav, and They, capital They with the period at the end. I tried to feature them before, but their name is They. It's so hard to even try to like promote
people
that.
So trendy with their names nowadays.
Right? Right. But just like for last month, I featured Ray Louise as like, you know, the headliner of the playlist. This month's playlist headliner is going to be Nika Moore. So every week, every month I do the playlist is going to be like, you know, the mixtape.
I love that playlist headliner.
Right. You know, the playlist, the mixtapes back in the day would always have like the artists that they would put a bunch of their songs on there. Yeah. And a little bit of everything else. So people that have dropped their short projects. And Ray Louise, I put all of her songs except for one on last month's playlist. So then people went and listened. They were like, you didn't put the best track on there. It's like, so you at least had a reason to go download it and to go listen. So I did the same thing with Nika Moore. Most of the tracks are on there except for one. So you have to go back and listen to it. And I think it's the one that everyone likes. So that way you have to download the project. So that is the method to the madness over here in Music Man Land. Any shout outs? Any musical shout outs this week? Or do we want to save it for next week so we can couple it with a little bit of an icebreaker?
Ooh.
Are you still listening to Drake? You know, that CD is like 4 days long.
Sort of. I'm still on. I'll save that for a wellness segment. Actually, I was going to say there's a section. Yeah, we'll do a tag team next week. How about that?
This little Drake section.
How about that?
This little Drake section.
Right. No, we there's a playlist on Spotify that is really good for like meditating. And if you're going on runs and need like to clear your head, because some people run to music, which of course is good because it hypes you up. But I've been running to these playlists that are supposed to be like calming, and it's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
I found myself running farther.
Really?
Yes. Because it's like less noise, if that makes sense.
So I should be running in the future in 2 Chainz.
I mean, that's the weird thing. The hyper the song, I used to feel like the adrenaline from it like pushed me and helped me get through the workout better. At least that's what I've always been used to. But this calming playlist, I was like, fine. I was like, oh, shit, there might be something to this. So that'll be next week and we'll tag team it because it's on Spotify. I'll let you guys know how it works because there's a science to it, which is the cool part. There's an actual science to the frequency in the song that like hits and activates certain parts of your brain.
Ooh,
isn't that cool?
That is.
And it has like different benefits for the body and the brain based on what you need. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, that's what I've been listening to. That's been my music shout out sort of. What about you, Dustin?
I just want to give a shout out to my girl, Mary J. Blige, of course.
Did it drop already?
No, it comes out April 28th, but she released the track listing.
Oh, shoot.
And
how many tracks is on there?
A total of 14. 14 tracks. Catronata is on the album.
Ooh. I think 14 is like ideal.
Right. Me too. Nice. She has a project. Song called Glow Up featuring Quavo, DJ Khaled, and Missy Elliott.
Oh, what?
I'm
my
really
God.
Excited about.
What?
Like, yes. The opening track, the opening song, number one, is Love Yourself featuring Kanye West.
Aww.
I think this album is going to be good. So I am ready. I'm excited.
April 28th.
The breath is bated. I'm waiting.
I'm actually really excited too.
Yes.
You know it's going to be an honest album.
Yep, I'm ready to go there.
Right.
With Mary J. Blige.
Let's go there, Mary J. Blige.
I guess that's it for this week's
That concludes Music the Music Man segment. Oh, just one last thing. I did talk about Goldlink's project on the last episode. There is a song, and guess Maya's on the project.
I heard it.
So Maya's still doing it, just so y'all know. She's alive and well and still killing it.
Well, why y'all be calling her Maida?
Maida?
Oh.
Who called her that?
You did.
The Maida touch?
Oh.
I didn't call her that.
Maida.
And then in the song, she goes, no matter where I go, no matter where I go.
Literally.
From PG.
Oh. No matter.
Look, from PG to Waikiki.
Yeah, that's what she said?
In her, on the song.
She did
from,
not say that.
From, on Smooth Jones.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of that album.
The first or second track, she talks about how she's popping from PG, which is a county out in Maryland or Baltimore, to Waikiki.
You want to laugh?
Uh-huh.
Because I've been holding this lyric in for a while. This on the music album, on the music tip. Shout out to my boy Dietrich. Me and my friend Dietrich were getting ready to go somewhere. I can't remember what we were about to do, but we were listening to YG while we was getting ready to go. And there was a lyric on this YG song on the Red album. He was like, I don't know if it was him or somebody or a feature, but somebody was like, so I pull up to, it was either Tammy or Angela. I can't remember, but he was like, so I pull up to Tammy's house. Tammy lived next to my family house. I stopped dead in my tracks. And I looked at Dietrich. And by the time I looked at him, mind you, he's from Detroit too. So like by the time I looked at him, he was looking at his palms up. And then we just fell out and we kept saying it. So I pulled up to Angela's house. Angela lived next to my family house. I was like, what? I love YG's music. Look, that was a reach. Okay.
That's just like on that one Juicy J song where he was like, meet Juicy J got too many holes.
Yeah.
Meet Juicy J got too many flows. Like, I was like,
that dinosaur, not the mama. He rapping like the dinosaurs and shit.
Meet Juicy J. Not the mama.
Yeah.
He sound like Cookie Monster.
God. That's it for the music, man. Now let's go on over to TV land.
Yay.
We're going to do it a little bit different this week because I'm tired of talking about the same old shit. So this week we're just going to talk about Watch What Happens Live, which had Sanaa Lathan and
looking
Candy
good.
Burris on there.
Sanaa Lathan?
Yeah, she was looking
gorgeous. Does she have something coming out soon?
She's got TV shots show. Fired.
Oh,
on
that's
Fox.
What I'm like, that's random.
And on the promo for the TV show, they always play Mike Will Made and Rihanna, Nothing's Promised.
They do.
And it always gets me.
It's hard to take that part seriously, right? Because
time.
The subject matter, it's a limited series, like American Crime or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But it's called Shots Fired. I don't know if that means they're going to change it next season like they do that, but they're referring to it as a limited whatever the fuck. But it's called
limited
Shots
season.
Fired. And
is it
about,
like a police drama?
Yeah, it's about police shootings. Like a cop, it's a racially motivated or racially charged police killing. And Sanaa Lathan plays, who does she play?
I don't know.
Somebody. She's like the lead, but apparently it's really good. Mac Wilds
is
in it.
Good.
It's a few people in it. Apparently it's supposed to be really, I mean, it's supposed to be friend.
Go to it.
It's supposed to be like, it's good. They fucking.
It will never die.
Jamia. On both. They're gonna make that bitch pay at that reunion.
Oh,
I can't wait.
God.
Candy had on a gold sequins pantsuit too. Did you see it? Well, it may not have been pants. It looked like a gold sequin, like thin strap, like shirt, and then like gold sequin pants. That's what she had on at the reunion. It's all jewel tones. Portia looks awful. She has she looks like soft serve. She has her hair. Like, you know how they take soft serve ice cream and they loop the ice cream around the top of the cone like that? They move it in a circular motion and bring it to that point. She got her hair short. It's a cute short haircut, but it's Portia, so we're going to laugh.
Boy, babe.
And she looks like soft serve.
Yo, that's his description.
She does. Phaedra sitting up there lying, shoved in a red, harlot red dress. Sitting up there lying. You can tell her posture. Now, I'm no body language expert, but that shoulder was too. And I know I just said we were not going to talk about them, didn't
you?
I?
You can't help
but
it.
Her shoulder was twisted out. What happened was they released a steel shot from the reunion. And you can see who all is there and what everyone is wearing. And so, like I said, Phaedra sitting up there with that left shoulder. What would it be? Her right. They're sitting this way. It would be her right shoulder poked out like a liar. You should see it. It's awful. Kenya's sitting there with a face of glee because she's excited that all of the guns are blazing and pointed at Phaedra. I'm telling you, it's going to be good.
I can't wait.
But anyway, Watch What Happens Live with Sanaa.
I want to watch it with y'all.
You have to watch it with us.
We should, right?
Yes. You have to.
Reunion date.
He said. We can have it at Tammy's house. Tammy's saying that's my
family. We all going to wear bonnets? Oh, wait. Which Tammy?
See? Speaking of that, never mind, because I don't even want to go there anymore. I'm tired of talking about basketball-wise. I'm just going to wait and watch basketball wise instead of talking
it
about
started
it.
Already?
No, April. Oh. April 16th, is it?
I don't know. I'm still 17? Trying to figure out if it's so wins or so wins.
Mm. You know, just the hair and the tattoos and they let Tammy have it when she brought her old.
I mean, I just never seen food stamps before.
Anyway, so Watch What Happens Live was really good. Candy addressed a lot of the issues head on, and it was a great preview or prelude, I guess, to what her style is going to be at the reunion. She was very even in tone, very measured in her responses, but you could tell that she was incensed with anger. She was on fire. Do you hear me? She couldn't even really look. At one point, they asked her and Phaedra were going to be friends again. And Candy did like this. Like, she didn't say no. She was like, it took everything she had because she can't be too vocal because she'll end up spilling secrets.
She was like, hell no, we ain't going
to
be.
Yeah, she wanted to check that moment. So it's just, I'm looking forward to that. And it was such a great episode of Watch What Happens Live because Sanaa Lathan is a huge Atlanta Housewives super fan. So
really?
And she loves Candy's music with Escape. Candy is a huge fan of her. And she even said that Don Juan, they'd be wearing them shirts and ties in the bag. She said that Don Juan that works with her was a huge, like Love and Basketball was his favorite movie.
Oh.
And then Andy was like, thanks for, good thing you brought him. And
Candy was like, I wasn't thinking. She was too busy cussing Phaedra's old thick neck ass out. And that's why I can't wait to watch it.
Ooh!
I can't wait. But that's it for TV this week.
Now let's move on to what you guys want to talk about in the asking for a friend segment. What you got for us?
Who is you guys?
The listeners.
Oh, sorry. I got offended. I got triggered.
You said who?
Who? I just read the subject of this and I'm like, I don't. Look, the subject is I slept with my BF's best friend before we met.
All right. Let's get this rolling.
No, you didn't. You slept with
my boyfriend's best
you
friend.
You got with the nigga that you slept with's friend after you slept with him. That's what happened. But finish going.
I mean,
okay, well,
that's what now that's who was like me.
Asante, Fran, Dustin.
Yes.
I need help. So there's a guy, Ricky, I've been dating for about a month now, and everything is going really well. I know it's only been a short time, but I could honestly say I see a future with him. There's only one issue. Through conversations and Facebook, we've come to realize we know a lot of the same people.
Uh-oh.
And it turns out that this guy, Jonas, who I had a one-night stand with my freshman year of college 10 years ago, is one of his good friends. He told me how close they were in high school, but I'm not exactly sure what their relationship is really like today, considering they now live in two different states. I wasn't planning on telling Ricky because I don't like or even talk to Jonas anymore. However, Ricky and I were talking about going to a festival next month in the same city that Jonas lives in. But all the hotels are completely booked, so Ricky tells me that if we really want to go, we could probably stay with Jonas. So I know that I need to tell him we probably shouldn't stay there, which will lead to why not. But how do I tell this man I slept with his friend one time 10 years ago, way before I knew him? Crying emoji, gasping emoji, Katie. Thank you for all the...
This is tough.
Thanks for all the fake names.
I just want to issue an apology. I want to issue
Ricky
an apology
Bobby.
On the record because I totally judged your email and it was totally different and I was wrong.
Right.
So, my bad.
Closure.
But just pick a different subject matter line next time and you want to arrive at that place again. But anyway, damn. So, you got... It sound like to me you got three options,
this is
right?
tough. I've been in this,
this
position.
This is tough.
She either needs to just not say nothing... Okay, and roll the dice.
Remember it.
Or I feel like you got enough lead time, right? I feel like you got enough lead time now to come up with an alternative plan. You don't have to stay with Jonas. You don't even have to go to the festival.
Y'all can get Airbnb.
If you're dating him, you can design this life where Jonas is a memory. Keep him busy and y'all never have to see him again. Or you can totally tell him casually and not act like you're doing the big reveal. And just be like, you know, it's just really funny. Like, I can't.
Oh, God.
Like,
I don't know why that just gave me anxiety.
Yeah. Be like, this
how do you
is crazy,
say that? You know what's crazy?
Right.
I fucked him like, 10 years
right.
ago.
Guess who else you know, knows like, what I look
we
like?
We kept talking about Jonas. And, you know, since we're staying with Jonas didn't say me like it before. Oh, my God. How funny is that? I got to go pack
my back.
No, I don't.
You stay with Jonas. We sure can.
You know, it's happened to me before where, yeah, literally the same situation. And it wasn't a thing of we weren't like going to stay at his house, but we were supposed to go to a show of his. And the guy I was dating was like, oh, we should go check out his show. And I was like, yeah, ooh, we should. And the kind of guy that the other one is, he would like say something petty to insinuate it or let him know without letting him know. Like, that's just his disposition. So I was like, fuck. And I didn't say anything.
Did it ever come out?
No.
See? Don't say nothing. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, but it's uncomfortable because anytime we would, like, if his name even came up or if we saw him somewhere, I would be, like, on, ooh, like nervous as fuck. And that's terrible. You might as well just say it. But for me, it was like I took too long to the point that by the time I would have said it, he would have been mad. Like, why didn't you tell me this shit? Yeah, so I messed up by not just...
That's what I'm saying, girl. While you writing us, you shit.
I think you should just say it. Even though it doesn't matter who you sleep with, it's totally your business. So you don't owe... I don't think you owe anyone that. But for your sanity and just to make life easier... I think it's easier. I wish in my situation that I would have just said it the first time it came up. I should have been like, I slept with him.
See, I'm the type.
And then that's that.
Yeah, I would have just said it because I don't really like doing the other stuff. I'm like, I would sweat under pressure.
I
would be like, we need to go into the kitchen. I need to tell you. Like, that's why I would need to say something way ahead of time, or I try to say shit like right when it's happening, because if I wait too late, it's going to be weird and like an episode of Modern Family, like some bullshit.
And it's worse because it makes it bigger than it needs to be. So,
like, you should just be like, just, hey, you know, we did it once back in the day, but I don't even look at him like that, you know?
It wasn't even good.
That's why he didn't get the call back, you know?
You think the guy would leave her for that?
Mm-hmm.
He would leave her?
Mm-hmm. I think guys do. Guys, because they can't not think
about it,
there
right?
There you go.
Shit. Damn.
But I mean, if he can't handle it, then.
So y'all would leave her?
I wouldn't. I mean,
you wouldn't
but
get
I,
over it?
I'm,
Dustin just chunked up the deuce.
In the. As a gay man, I feel like it'd be too much bullshit going on sometimes. And I'd be like, you know what? Like, now, if I was looking for a reason anyway to be up out of there and that happened, I'd be like, oh, well, bye. But.
Wow.
If it's somebody I genuinely...
You know what? You guys are right, because I'm thinking, like, okay, what if someone had said, like, oh, yeah, I slept with Maya before. I don't know that. I'd be like, oh, that's cool.
I know you wouldn't.
I don't think I could let it go. You're right.
Actually, now I'm thinking about in the context of who my friends are, like, now to then, like, actually, it would be different. Because... I used to keep, like, huge circles of friends around before, but now it's like... No, because I had to rethink this.
Doesn't
you going to do it or
Dustin
am I?
Dustin has literally been holding up the peace sign this entire time.
You going to do it or am I?
Like, okay, let's rework the scenario.
Oh, God, this is confusing.
Because what if I've been dating this person for, like...
I don't know where I stand.
I don't even know. Now that I'm really thinking about it. Because initially, I'd be like, you know what? It was 10 years ago. Y'all don't even really know each other like that now. No way. But then it's kind of like...
Girl, follow your gut. Don't listen
to
us.
Yeah, honestly, if you feel like you need
to... Because he might leave you if you're honest. That's just
the reality of it. If you feel like you just need to tell him and you think that you can just tell him, then just tell him. And however he reacts, deal with that after the fact. Because if y'all there and this dude is however he was then, or he like, yeah, we fucked back in the day or some shit.
And that's what I'm saying. Remember I said that, I don't know what episode it was, but I was like, don't ever be at the mercy of someone else's tongue.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I almost feel like low-key you have to just say it. Because you are giving that dude power to fuck your shit up anyway. So might as well get it out now. Right. And if the dude is going to leave you for that, he's going to leave you anyways, whether the dude said it a year from now,
exactly,
2 years from now. You know what I mean?
It's the way you tell him too, I think. Because just saying, like, I have something to tell you, like, we slept together.
Scream it.
You know what I'm saying? That will be like, that will just cause trauma. But if you say it.
Don't text it to him.
this is where your like your own level of like finesse or game would come in, because you have to be able to read your partner.
You know their energy.
Right. You know their energy. You know what motivates them, if they're a jealous person or whatever or not. So my suggestion is to tell him, but to frame it by saying, and this is actually being honest, just be like, I would never put you in a situation where people could talk over your head or have anybody, you know, knowing things. I'm never going to have you in a room where people know stuff about your man that you don't know.
That's huge for me, too. I remember having that conversation with a dude before where we had gone somewhere and one of his exes was there and he didn't tell me she was his ex. But I noticed, like, you can read energy.
Yep.
Like, she is something to him. And it was there both kind of pretending that it wasn't. I'm like, why would you have me look stupid, though? Like, I didn't like, you know, I didn't like being the lost ass motherfucker in the room that had no idea what's going on. Meanwhile,
so
everyone
get
else.
Everybody fucked up. Real talk. Really? That's
right. And
I
think it's extra and it's kind of unnecessary.
Everybody know the secret except for me.
That's dangerous.
And then that's your boyfriend, but you're out the loop. Like,
you
it's
know
a
the
little
secret
weird.
Too? When you're in that position,
so just
too.
Me?
So
just
me, huh? When you're in that position, you don't really feel like you have any other recourse but to literally start slapping people. Because it's like everybody else knew, everybody already knew. Y'all literally have made a joke out of me. So now I'm about to slap the shit out of you, because that's really all I have at this point. And that's why all of that game is dangerous. So I say,
it's probably like the hot button. It's a charade.
Just tell them, at the end of the day, the safest thing for you to do is to just tell the truth.
Preach.
So I would just tell the truth and just tell it the way it needs to be told, though. Not like you're revealing a secret or something you've been hiding. No, I'm sharing this information with you because I care more about you than anybody or anything else. And I want you to be prepared and have these tools so that nobody catches you slipping. This is what happened before this even happened. So that's what it is. You got to tell them that, but you have to make sure that, and this is ridiculous, but it's just real. You have to make sure that you make them feel valuable in the moment, like more valuable than the other person that's involved.
Right.
That's just an added measure that you need for that, for them to not be mad at you for 3 days as opposed to one. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, just make them feel like it meant nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is totally different. And had I met you first, I wouldn't know what his dick looked like. that's what you need to tell.
All right, I changed my mind. I pick a side. I'm side with Dustin. Tell him. Yep. Tell him. It's going to suck.
Tell him the right way.
Embrace yourself, because you don't know how he's going to react. You could very well lose him. But I think that's just comes with the territory of honesty. Ooh, that's a tough one. I've been there, though, girl. You do not want to have that over your head. It is so uncomfortable.
Break up
oh, my
with
God.
Him, and that way you can do whatever you want to do. That's what I say.
And go back and fuck Jonas.
Well, yeah. And the brothers.
And go to the festival.
At the festival.
Go back and fuck Joseph. And the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Okay.
Oh, my God.
They're going to be at the festival, like.
Okay. All right. Talk about Coachella vibes and shit. Yeah.
And Frank gonna walk by and be like, they was like this.
Dang, like,
I saw them. It was like.
She gonna be like, show us.
Dun, dun, dun.
Something like Batman. Dun, 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 dun.
Shit.
Yeah.
So keep this going.
So for those who don't know, that noise that we keep making and we keep throwing up the peace sign, that's in reference to Retrospecto.
Yes.
On or Spectro.
Spectro, yeah.
Retrospecto on Twitter. He is absolutely hilarious, and he makes these videos where he disappears in
situations he doesn't want to be in.
And he plays this music that they played on the Party Next Door album. And it goes. And then he disappears.
And people
hilarious.
Thought that you were doing the More You Know sound.
Oh. Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
Somebody, you know how people think we sounded like, they were tweeting me like, what was the noise you were making? Was it this? And it was the star. And I was like, that was not the star noise.
Send them back the video of him disappearing.
That's what I love about people that listen to the show weekly, because they know all the inside jokes.
Yes.
And we just be cracking up.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
oh, all you UK listeners, we're sorry. Y'all were so mad at us.
Right. We weren't even trying to talk about y'all friends.
I'm not sorry.
One girl was like, I am so mad at Friend Zone, but it's like being mad at Bay, where I know it's not going to last long. But she was like, but I'm still pissed.
When we go out to London, I kept saying I wanted to go look at their little music scene and see what it's popping like.
One girl said she's going to punch us at the festival.
She going to get hit back,
get punched
too.
Back. Oh, two
now,
times.
You see how that just... And I ain't going to do it because I ain't going to jail over there.
I mean, y'all both said that so fast.
Four times.
But we
17
hope...
17 times.
She going to punch us at the festival. No, you're not.
Well, we hope that we hope that that somehow answered your question and gave you some insight. Now let's move on to this week's Black Business. Dustin has something for us.
I have a
week.
Black business for us this week that I'm very excited to announce. I always like to throw my support behind the efforts of my friends that are legitimate and credentialed and just good ideas. I like to see everybody grow and do what they love to do.
Yay.
So one of my friends that actually used to work in the healthcare field, in children's health actually, in Atlanta, Georgia, he started a new business doing personal training, boot camps that are he's targeting gay men in the major cities starting in Atlanta, just getting everybody in shape. There's really no fitness targeted to that group. He's starting with gay men of color. It's really amazing. Anybody can go to his boot camps, though, guys, girls, whatever, but he is actually focusing on being available to gay men of color and gay men everywhere for personal training, online web training, all that stuff. And it's really, really a good program. His boot camps have already sold out. He's got tons and tons of clients in Atlanta, so I just think it would be really dope if you guys showed him some love if you're in the Atlanta area, and if not, he does personalized plans that he can send you wherever you are. So this is really dope. So if
just
you go
in time
on,
for summer.
Yeah, just in time for summer, right? If you go on Instagram, his Instagram is forever, forever_Mista, MISTAH. And his company is called Forward Mista. It's all themed to like boot camp and army shit. His body is insane. He is a certified trainer. Everything's legitimate on paper. He's just a guy that does it all, and I'm really excited about this new fitness endeavor that he's doing with the Fit Experience Bootcamp that he's doing in Atlanta. So you can email him at askmistah@gmail.com. He's in Atlanta, personal trainer, motivational speaking, all of that wrapped into one with these boot camps that are targeted to gay men. Every gay man wants to look good, so this is perfect.
Dope.
Holler at him. Tell him that the Friend Zone sent you. He's growing his business, and this is a passion project for him that he's turning into his career. So I'm excited. Let's support him. And once you see him on Instagram, once you guys see him on Instagram, I guarantee you, you'll want to support. He's already popular. Like, it is what it is, but there's some legitimacy here that makes this authentic, and I think that the intersection of those is where it gets good.
Yay.
So, yeah, email him for askmista@gmail.com, forever_mista, MISTAH on Instagram. Tell him that the Friend Zone sent you over there, and that's our Black business this week. Get your
forever
body together.
Mista.
Do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
Go. That's my church announcement. Go on Sunday, whether that's Bedside Baptist or Triumph or Calvary Fellowship.
Not Calvary.
Whatever it is.
Triumph.
Just go to church.
Yo, you are hilarious. Asante.
By the time you listen to this, I will be in L.A. Hopefully, I will be catching you that following weekend in San Francisco on April 7th or Houston on April 8th. Come see me opening for KidFuryLive.com. That is the Furious Thoughts Live Tour at KidFuryLive.com. Go and get your tickets. Come see me and hit me with the remix. The remix is greens. You know what that means. And that's all I have over here. What about you, Fran?
I'm laying low this week.
You better lay low.
Yeah, it's sort of like a calm week, so I'm taking full advantage of it before, you know, the next stop on the tour and other projects that are coming up in April and my birthday, which I'll be leaving the country for. But I'm just laying low, buying my plants and watering them, cleaning the house, getting rid of stuff. Just sort of the where my head is at this week. But if anything comes up that's cool, I'll definitely let you guys know. And yeah, that's it. That's it for this week's show. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you for Lord. Listening. We love you, and we will see you next week.
Stay black and protect holla. Your magic.
Holla, 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 holla.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.